It's such an awesome privilege to be in the house of the Lord, to be in His presence. What an awesome time of worship, and how amazing it is for us to be able to gather together in the presence of the Lord. And God is working, and He is molding, and He is shaping, and He's doing amazing things in the midst of us, and exciting things are in the works for us as a church, and we're just looking forward to God doing great and amazing things as we persevere through this year. And so it's exciting to be able to come out and to experience God's presence. And so I pray that you have been blessed so far today, and that you are experiencing the presence of God, and the anointing of the Holy Spirit is doing a work in you, and that you are able to experience God's word as it manifests itself in your life. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, we have been talking about being repurposed and how important it is to experience that process as God helps us to redirect our passions. And there are things that we have to do in order to enable the principles of God to be manifested in our life. And it's based on our response to the Word of God that will enable us to experience God in new and powerful ways that will help us to have the positive biblical life experience that we all desire to have. And life is based on a series of decisions, choices, and those things that we experience and the things that we choose all bring about a certain result. They cause us to have a certain experience. And based on what our mindset is, that will determine what actions we take and how we process our experiences and make the decisions that we ultimately make. And so God wants to repurpose us so that we're able to represent the kingdom of God and be able to be the witnesses in the world that He's called us to be. And so that requires us to be able to look back into our life experiences and recognize what God is doing so that we can learn and grow from those experiences and make the necessary tweaks and changes in our life so that we can fulfill the new purpose that God is working out in our lives. And so old things pass away and everything becomes new as we fulfill the will of God. And so today we would like to begin here in the book of Acts in chapter 9, looking at the story, actually the historical account of the life transformation of a man named Saul of Tarsus and how God used him as Paul in the New Testament to change the world. And because of what God did in Saul's life, Paul was able to give us the Word of God, the books of the New Testament that he wrote, so that we would have a better understanding of God's principles, so that we could learn from them and apply them in our life, making the necessary changes that we need to make so that we can redirect our passions and be effective at the repurposing of God, that our experience in life would be that which is established by God. And so we'll begin here in verse 3 of Acts 9, and it says, "As he, Saul, was traveling, it happened that he was approaching Damascus, and suddenly, a light from heaven flashed around him." And here we see is this opening verse of ours that God is using this man Saul, even though he is misguided, even though he is lacking an understanding. Now, a little bit something about him is that Saul was an expert in the law of God. He was an expert in the Word of God. He was a Pharisee and a scribe. He was someone who had given his life to the mastering of the law of Moses, the word of God. And so he was not unfamiliar with the word of God and what God's word said, yet he lacked a relationship with God. And when you don't have a relationship with God, the word of God really is rendered to no effect in a person's life. It's not until you cultivate a relationship with God to the extent where the word of God comes alive and you're able to understand it from a divine perspective that you are now able to apply it in your life in a way that goes beyond the surface, that which is the trivial issues concerning the word of God. And we as the people of God must learn how to get past the trivia of God's word and learn how to apply it in a practical sense. And we live in a day and age where many churches and places and people are preaching the trivia of God's word. And we're learning all of the things that we need to learn about God's word, but we're not being brought into a place of relationship with God, whereby we are able to apply the principles of God so that we can get to know him even as he knows us, that we are able to hear his voice and follow him. And our lives are designed to be in that we follow the word of the Lord. Jesus said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Not just learn the history of my life or learn the various aspects of my life, but to know me. And we must get to know him so that we can understand who we are, so that we can live out the principles of the word of God in our life. And so I would like to use as a theme today the regeneration process. The regeneration process. Well, are you ready for the word of the Lord today? Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Lord, we are so thankful for your word. And we ask, oh God, that you would mold us and shape us into your image. Our desire, Lord, is to not just to be hearers, but to be doers of your word. Our desire, Lord, is to be used of you, to go into the world and to preach the gospel, making disciples of every nation, and that we would not be intimidated or ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation. And it is our desire to experience that power and to enable that power of God to impact the lives of the people you bring our way, that we might be your witnesses, that we might be the people that you've called us to be, that we might be used of you to accomplish your will. Repurpose us, Lord, that your will would be done even on earth as it is in heaven, and that you would be glorified, lifted up and exalted as we redirect our passions to align ourselves with the word of God, that we may prevail against the season and the times that we are in. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, our desire as the people of God is to be used by God. And we want God to work in us and through us. And we want to see the will of God accomplished in our lives. We want to be an example to the unbelievers so that they would see the necessity and the reality and the practical essence of God's working in our life, so that they too might become hungry and thirsty for God, that they too would desire the very things that we are experiencing day by day as God works in us, as he moves in us and uses us to bring about his will in the world, to fulfill the great commission that Jesus has commissioned us to accomplish. And so, as we are looking at this regeneration process, we can see it very well here in the Word of God in the life of Saul. And God is repurposing Saul even as this floor is made of repurposed material. Can you see this floor? It is made from leather belts. This floor has been repurposed by using leather belts. It's gone from holding pants up to holding the room up. All the things that would sit on the floor. And God can make that much and even more of a radical change in a person's life when we yield ourselves to God and allow the Word of God to work in us, that we would not be distracted by things of this world, by the other elements and aspects that come into our life that will cause us to lose focus, that we would be able to be effective at allowing God to repurpose us, that we might be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And so, even as this TV has been repurposed into a fish tank, it is a radical change. Things that are obsolete can still have a purpose. And you and I may feel like we have nothing to offer, like we can't be used, and maybe we're obsolete, but God says, I want to repurpose you. I can use you in ways that you could not even imagine. I can do abundantly more than you could ever ask or think, the Word of God says. And this is why it's so important for us as the people of God to be able to apply the principles of His Word so that God can work in us and ultimately through us. He can use us to accomplish great things. And there is nothing that is impossible with God. He can change any person's life. All we need to do is have an encounter with God. And so here in Acts chapter 9, in verse 6, Saul has had an encounter with God, and he is in the midst of experiencing this transforming power of God. The light of God shined upon him, and he fell to the ground, the Word of God says. And we know that when God shows up, it changes everything. Jesus changes everything. He causes things to change. Just his presence alone causes a shift in the atmosphere. And there is a dynamic shift that takes place that causes us to feel different, to experience things from a different perspective. And that is why we must walk in the Spirit of God, why we abide in the presence of God, why we're in the shadow of the Almighty. That's under the covering of God. We're operating not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. That can only happen if we are in communion or in fellowship with God as we walk with Him, as we spend time with Him. And this is why Satan does everything he can to keep us so busy that we have no time for God. In any given day, we are too busy to spend time meditating on His Word day and night, praying without ceasing, standing in the gap, interceding, and lifting up situations and circumstances that we are literally walking into without a divine cover because we failed to have and maintain a relationship with God. This is so important as we live our lives, that we pray for over everything, that we lean not to our own understanding, but we trust in the Lord. That means we're acknowledging Him in all of our ways so that He can direct our paths, help us with the decisions that need to be made. Even the smallest of decisions, God can direct us. And His desire is to help us in everything. And so Saul is learning this lesson. He's coming to this place where he's realized that now he has been on a path of righteousness according to his own perceptions, his own ideas. And being an expert in the Word of God, he thought he was doing the right thing. The Word of God says there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it is the way of destruction. And the Proverbs that are established in that principle are still at work today. Those dynamics are still true today. People have ideas in their minds that they think is right, but it's ultimately the way of destruction. And without the word of God to align us and to keep us on the path of righteousness for his name's sake, we will be still in a place of confusion, a place where we are out of alignment with what God is really saying and doing. And because Saul did not have a relationship with God, he only had knowledge, the knowledge of God, he was not able to do the will of God. You cannot do the will of God effectively without knowing God in a personal way. You must have a personal relationship with Jesus. You must spend time in prayer. Otherwise, you will not have the power to do what God has called you to do. You won't even be able to see what it is God would have you to do. You'll be in total darkness and in a place where you're going based on your own perceptions, the concepts of your own mind. And that is a sad place to be, because though you may have good intentions, you will never come to a place where you realize those intentions come to fruition, because you do not have the right type of relationship with God. And this is why we need to have encounters with God. No one can make you have a relationship with God. No one can talk you into it. No one can force you into it. It is something that God has to reveal to you within your own heart. He's got to show you your need for a Savior. He's got to help you to see that you are in a position where God is your only source of life and help and hope. And so Saul was going along as a proud man. He was thinking he had everything together and that he had things right, when suddenly God encountered him. You and I are going about our lives based on what we think and how we feel, and we are assuming that we're going along the best way and the right way we can. And as we go along, God has set up divine encounters for us. He has established, as we walk through life, as we follow him on the path of righteousness, there are various intersections that are designed for us to have an encounter with God so that we can make the necessary changes as we go along. So Saul, in verse 6, he gets up and he enters the city, and it will be told to you what you must do. So God is saying here to him, now that you're there on the ground, now that you've been humbled, now that you have experienced the reality of Christ, now that God has revealed himself to you, now what is the next step? You see, many times we have this experience as Christians where we come to an understanding of who Christ is. We actually believe that he is the Son of God, that he died for our sins, that he rose from the grave on the third day, and that as a result, our sin debt is paid, and now we are able to have fellowship with God. We are now born of the Spirit of God. But that is only the first step. Coming to that understanding is only the first step. The next step is you must begin to have a relationship with God. Now we must get to know him. Now we must identify his ways and align ourselves to them. We must now begin to learn and grow according to the word of God. And we need a revelation from the Spirit of God, who enables us to see how to live. And now it's looking in the mirror as we read the word of God. We're not reading the word of God so we can tell other people how to live or what to do, but we're reading the word of God so that we can see how we need to be changed and transformed to align ourselves with the will of God. The ways and the things that we do are all need to be aligned to the will of God, to the word of God. And so here, Saul is being directed into a city so that he can have an encounter with someone who can help him in this process. When you and I come to Christ, we need to connect with people who can help us grow and mature in our walk with God. We must come to a place where we are yielded and humbled before God, and we say, okay, God, what would you have me to do next? The concept of living the Christian life is you must now become a doer of the word of God. It's not just enough to be an expert in the memorizing scripture and knowing the word of God. Paul had all of that, or Saul had all of that, but it was not enough. He needed an encounter with God. He needed a relationship with God. And you and I need to learn how to walk with God, cultivating a relationship with him so that he can speak to us and give us direction, so that every day we're making little changes in our lives so that we can be more effective at being witnesses to the world. And so Saul, he gets up and he begins to take in what Jesus is saying to him. And the men who traveled with him, they just stood speechless, hearing the voice but seeing no one. And this is why you can't trust people around you. Because when God is dealing with you, he's dealing with you. He may not be dealing necessarily with other people around you. And so you can't get their opinions and their ideas about what God is doing in your life per se, because they don't even hear. They're literally standing speechless. I'm sure you've had this encounter where you've talked to somebody about what God has done in your life, or you've shared a testimony of God, and all they do is stand there speechless. And you're trying to get them to relate and to understand the reality of what God is doing and the power of it, and they have no idea. It's foreign to them because they themselves have no relationship with God. And so that is why we cannot rely on sinners to validate us. We cannot rely on people whose relationship with God is lacking to give us comfort and to encourage us in the ways of God. It's because they have no idea, no concept of what's going on. They're able to hear voices, but they can't see it. They can't perceive anything that's going on. And these men stood speechless. And that is the experience that you and I will have when we're engaged with others who have no relationship with God. And to the extent that we have a relationship with God, that will be the extent to which we can have understanding as to what God is doing all around us. And so Saul, he gets up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. And he was led by the hand and brought to Damascus. And so here he is, he's rising up before he could see. He had papers, he was a legal bounty hunter. He was going after the people of God. He was literally arresting them and bringing them back to Jerusalem. That was his plan. He stoned Stephen, or he certainly supported the idea of Stephen being stoned as he testified and was a witness to the things of God, the testimony of Christ. And so he was on a manhunt, and he was thinking he was doing the right thing. He was thinking he was in the right place, but he was not. And so often people are established in their mindset, in their ways, that they are right when they are not. Even though they may have good intentions, without a right relationship with God, you will never fully be able to understand the will of God in a person's life, in your own life. It requires a relationship with God, walking with him and communing with him as you go along. And so as Saul was going, as he was moving, God was working. And that's a powerful principle to understand. Anyone in this world who is going to accomplish anything or be anyone of any type of value and accomplishment is someone who is about something. They have a cause. They have a purpose. They're in pursuit of something that they perceive to be important. And that is how they gain value for their lives. That is how they establish a sense of self-worth based on what they are doing. And God understands that about humanity. And that's why he said, be a doer of the word of God. That's why Jesus said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. We are to do the things that God has called us to do. we have a new purpose. We have a new reason to live. The very things that we are about have been changed. There has been a transformation by the will of God so that the Spirit of God can be manifested in our lives. God not only says, go and do it, but he says, I'm going to give you the power to do it. I'm going to enable you to do it. All you need to do is trust in the Lord. All you need to do is follow him. All we need to do is abide in him. And as we apply these principles in our life, God's power is working in our lives. We need the power of God to ignite us so that the word of God can be accomplished in our life to do the will of God. And you will never be able to accomplish the will of God without the power of God working in you as you do the word, what the word of God says. So we must learn how to do what the word of God says. We must become doers and not just hearers only, applying biblical principles so that we can have divine experiences. And that means we have an encounter with God that is maintained in a relationship format as we live our daily lives. Every day, we commune with God. We talk to him. We interact with him. We listen to him. And prayer is God's way of speaking to us. Many of us, we think of prayer as an opportunity to ask God to do something for us. But it's way more than that. None of us are interested in just praying and then walking away and it just kind of goes up into the air and you just feel good about praying. That's not why we pray, is it? We pray because we're expecting God to hear us and then go to work in our behalf, to stand in the gap for us. And so we see that pictured here as Saul begins to hear the voice of God, and then God speaks to him and tells him what to do. Prayer is designed so that when you finish praying, you have a sense of direction. When you pray, you get up with a sense of direction. God, what would you have me to do? And when we come into communion and fellowship with God, his desire is to speak to us so that we would know what to do. And so Saul, he now knows what to do. And so in verse 9, it says, he was 3 days without sight and neither ate nor drank. This is a period of fasting, if you will. And so here is Saul. He is blinded. He can't see. The light was so bright, it flashed. He's blinded. He was knocked to the ground, and now he is without sight. That is a powerful principle. In fact, scientists have figured out that light has the power to move things, even though it has no mass. And that is a very interesting thing because we all know that it requires mass and momentum to move something. But God is able to move things with light. And God tells us that he is light, and in him there is no darkness. And God can certainly move things. God is frequency, and frequency is a total range. Everything that you hear and see is within the frequency spectrum. And God is light and sound. And as we've talked about times before, that is why you often hear when God shows up, rolls of thunder and flashings of light, because they're all a part of the spectrum of frequency that God operates in and God controls. And so God has power to move us. He can cause things to shift. He can cause things to change. And even as we are operating in the strength and the power of God, he can cause us to do things we otherwise could not do. He can repurpose us, and he can enable us to do things that we would say, well, that's not my gifting. Well, you know, I would, but you know, I just don't. I tell you, how many gifts does God have? How many does all of the gifts that God has available to us, how many of them does he have? All of them, right. Thank you. I knew somebody was out there. God has all the gifts. He has all of the gifts. They all belong to him. And if Christ is in you, how much of Christ is in you? All that he has is available to you. All that God is available to you. God can repurpose you to be what he needs you to be when he needs you to be it, so you can accomplish and do whatever it is he needs to have done in that moment. This is how God works in us. This is why we yield ourselves to God. This is why we surrender to the Lord, because there is nothing impossible for him, nothing too hard for him. And if he is in you, then that same power that raised up Christ from the dead is dwelling in you, and you are now enabled and empowered by the Spirit of the Lord. So you can do and accomplish according to his good measure. Isn't that what the Word of God says? Yes, and you and I are able to do abundantly more than we could ever ask or imagine, because God is working in us. He is working through us. There is nothing impossible with God. And we are very quick to hear that verse quoted or to quote that verse, but we don't realize the implications of that verse. It means God can use you to do anything, because Christ dwells in you. If he is dwelling within you, there is nothing impossible for you. You can do all things through Christ, who strengthens you, who enables you, who empowers you. Why? Because it is not you of yourself, but it is the Spirit of God within you. And it is God who is doing the work. And so Saul is blinded and he's being emptied. He's in a place of void. He is here in this place of fasting. He is completely yielded to God. Notice it says he neither ate nor drank. He was emptying himself before God, or God was emptying him. Old things were passing away. Even as Jesus was in the tomb for 3 days, and he was there in the darkness of the tomb for 3 days until he rose again. It is a picture of God's ability to transform lives, to change people, to redeem, to deliver, to set free. God is able to do powerful things when we surrender our lives to God. God can liberate you. He can lift you up. He can enable you. He can help you navigate the challenges and the difficulties of life that you will face. He will enable you and strengthen you and empower you so that his will can be worked out. We don't know what God's will is for us until God reveals it to us. And it may not be revealed until that moment arises. And at that moment, you might say, Lord, I don't know what to say. And God says, yes, just go. And as soon as you open your mouth, the Holy Spirit will give you what to say in that moment. All you must do is be willing to make a sound. All you need to do is to just open your mouth and say, Lord, help me. Give me what to say. And as you're listening, you're there communing with God, and God will give you what to say. And sometimes he will say, just be quiet and watch and listen. And other times he will give you an exact thing to say. And you'll open your mouth and you might say, well, I don't know. And then all of a sudden, but, why? Because all of a sudden, God gives you something. And the Spirit of the Lord will use you in ways that you don't even expect it. How many times have you had experiences where you've talked to someone and you've been sharing, and all of a sudden, you don't even know what you're going to say, and then all of a sudden, you just start talking, and then all of a sudden, the people were blessed. The person was able to benefit from what you said. You didn't plan it. You weren't really thinking about it. You didn't think you would have anything to say, or you didn't know what to say. And you go, oh my goodness, you walk away going, oh man, I don't know what I just said. Why did I say that? Oh man, I don't even think that made any sense. Did it even help anybody? I don't even know if I, you know, and you walk away, and then later on you find out, man, I really appreciate what you said. Has that ever happened to you? Because God wants to use us. He wants to use us in ways that help us to see it's not you. It's not you. It's Christ in you. It's Christ in you. And Saul is learning, listen, it's not about how much you know the law of Moses, how much you've studied and memorized the Bible, and you know all the verses, and you can quote this and that, and you know all about the historical elements and aspects of everything and all of that. And all of that is all good information. It's beautiful, wonderful, glad to know it. But without a relationship with God, you will be rendered powerless. You need to commune with God. God needs to give us what to say. He needs to use us. He will take the elements and aspects of our past and use them for his glory. He will repurpose everything so that God can be glorified, so that Christ can be exalted. Here is Saul working to bring the message of the gospel down and destroy it. And he had an encounter with God that turned him around and caused him to be the messenger of the very thing that he was working against. Only God can repurpose a life that way. And so in verse 10, it says, "Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and the Lord said to him in a vision, 'Ananias.' And he said, 'Here I am, Lord.'" Hallelujah. Don't you love that? Is that the way you answer God when he speaks to you? When he says, "Hey, Shell," and I go, "Here I am, Lord." Or do we go, "Well, I don't know if that was God. Well, I think that was the Lord. Well, Lord, you know, I'm trusting that it's you. Lord, I pray that that you would help me. Lord, I think that was you. I'm not really sure. No way. We shouldn't be that way. We ought to be able to say, "That's God. Hey, Lord, how are you?" When somebody calls you on the phone, if they call you 100 times in a day, the next day they call you again, are you going to go, "Who is this? Wait, who are, what? Oh, yeah, I remember you from Sunday." Yeah. No. You have a relationship with God when you are walking with him, when you're communing with him. Boom, God speaks, you recognize him, you say, "Here I am, Lord." And so Ananias has a relationship with God. He is able to hear from God. He's able to see and understand the voice of the Spirit of God as he speaks. And these are the kind of people you want in your life. Isn't that right? You need the kind of people. Ananias, he doesn't have a title. He's not some fancy highfalutin guy in the church, or he doesn't have all this stuff that Saul has behind his name, 100 letters and all this stuff that prove his education levels and all the things that he's been able to accomplish in life, that he's somebody and he's a prophet, so and so. Now, Ananias, "I'm prophet Ananias now. I speak to the Lord. Show me, use me. God used me to change the life of Saul, you know." You know, that's the way it is today. And God is saying, "Listen, no, it's not about any of that. It's not about any of that stuff. All you need to do is have a relationship with God, and he can use you. You don't have to be anybody in particular except somebody who has a relationship with God. And God can use you. You might not be in ministry. You might be doing something else. I don't know. You could be doing anything. You might be a clerk somewhere. Or, you know, maybe you work at ShopRite. Everybody likes going there, the mall. Hallelujah. You know, you might be an ordinary, everyday person. You might be somebody who's just going along through life, just not even sure what your occupation is ultimately going to be. But you do have a relationship with God. And because of that, God can use you. You can arise in the power of God, in the strength of God, and the anointing of God can bring change into people's lives. And Ananias was that kind of guy. He was someone who heard the voice of God. And so the Lord says to him in verse 11, "Get up and go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying." Hallelujah. Well, I tell you, if the Lord said that to me, I'd be like, "Lord, I don't know. I don't know if that's you. I really, should I be going to, who is that? I don't know. I'm not going to some guy Judas's house. That name even sounds scary, Judas. You know, I'm going to Judas's house." And so God is going to send you to Judas's house looking for a man named Saul. You know, that, how am I going to look knocking on some stranger's door and saying, "Hey, the Lord told me to come here and to look for a guy named Saul. Are you Judas?" You know, that takes faith in God, doesn't it? That really takes something of God to do. But man, when you have a relationship with God and you know the voice of the Lord, when God says to get up and go, you get up and go, man. You're all in because you know the Lord. And you can trust in him and you can lean on on the fact that when God speaks, it is going to come to pass. And so this lesson is being experienced by both Ananias and by Judas and by Saul. All of the players involved, they're all getting a lesson from God. They're all being impacted by this transforming work of God in the life of one person. When God changes one person, it impacts everyone around them. When God changed your life and changed my life, it impacts a lot of people around us. And because of the change that God is bringing about in our lives, every time we have an encounter with God, it impacts people. And that is why we need more encounters with God. We need more of God to show up and do things in our life so that we can see the manifestations of God that will enable people to experience God. And so here he is, he's praying, and he's praying. And these are the kind of prayers that we all want. We want prayer, not prayer where it says, well, Lord, we're just trusting you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, here we go. Well, wait a minute. Whoa, where are you going? We see this all the time. People have their prayer, they lay their prayer out, then they go, amen, they get up and they run out. I tell you, you will never accomplish what God needs you to accomplish with that kind of mindset. We must be able to wait on God. We need to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. We need God to be able to speak to us. God, what are you saying to us? Lord, what would you have me to do? Prayer leads to action. Prayer should always lead to an action. It should help you to know what you need to do next. Here is a man praying. He's blind. What do you think he was praying for? Here he is. He just had an encounter, knocked off his horse. He was humbled before the Lord, and he was brought to a place of brokenness and humility. And then he gets up after being blinded by the light, and all of a sudden, now, where is he? He's in some strange guy's house named Judas, waiting for God to answer his prayer. And so he is waiting, and Ananias is a man who hears and responds to the prayers that went up to God. They came down at Ananias's house. You and I need people whose prayers, when we lift them up, come down at somebody's house. We need the kind of prayers that are able to go up and impact where somebody is listening so that God's will can be done. Verse 12 says that he had seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight. Well, at least now we know what he was praying. He was praying, God, I can't see. I need to see. Lord, please, can I have my sight back? And he says, yes, but your blessing is not going to come in the same way it was taken away. I'm going to show you how much you need the body. You need the people of God. And so now the very people that he was persecuting are the people he needs in order to regain his sight. And that is what God does. This is why being a part of the church is so important. It's so important for us to be able to be connected with people who have a relationship with God so that we can accomplish the will of God, so that the change and the transformation that God is working out in our life can be realized, because we need to be around people who have a relationship with God, people that we can trust, people that are dependable, people that have rightly divided the word of truth, so that we would be able to be effective at accomplishing and doing the will of God. And so in verse 13, Ananias answers and says, Lord, I have heard about this man, how he's done so much harm to the saints at Jerusalem. And the name of Saul struck fear in the hearts of Christians. He was notorious for persecuting Christians. The word had gone out throughout the whole Christian community and known world about this man named Saul. And when they heard his name, it struck fear. And saints of God, name connotates identity. And if fear is something that is being stricken in the hearts and minds of people, then there's something that is not right. There is something that is wrong. And so when Saul's name was proclaimed, fear went out, yet he was representing the kingdom of God, so he thought. He thought he was representing the righteousness of God, but his name was striking fear amongst the believers. And you and I know that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and power and of a sound mind. And he has given us the ability to have self-control, is what the Word of God says. And so here is this principle that's being worked out as Saul is going through the regeneration process. He's going through a process of transformation where first he has an encounter with God that humbles him and brings him to a place where he is blinded so that he can understand his need to be connected with the people of God so that he can be a part of the body that enables the will of God to be accomplished in the world so that he can go into the world and bring the gospel, which he ultimately did. And so the Word of God shows us here that Ananias is now having this conversation, more evidence of a relationship. When you're able to have a conversation with God, you're in a good relationship with God. It's not like when you go to the drive-up and you say, "I'll have the goodie meal number 2. Could I get large fries with that and a shake? I'll take a shake with that." All right, next window, please, to pick up your order. A lot of times we look at prayer like that, and we see it as some way of putting our order in, and then we walk off waiting to pick it up at the reception window whenever and wherever we get to that or it shows up. And God is saying that is not how the kingdom of God works. We are not people who are just placing orders with God, asking him to do stuff so that we can have a better life, but he wants to interact with us. He walks with us. He talks with us. He communes with us. Why? Because he loves us. He cares for us. He wants us. Have you ever had a little kid and you just wanted to scoop them up and just go, "Ooh," you wanted to play with them, and then they come over to you and they shun you and go, "Eh," and then you go, "Oh, well." Has it ever happened to you? Right? Kids are good for that, right? And you're like, "Oh, yeah," and you go to grab them and they go another way. You know, you kind of feel silly. You pull your hands back like it didn't happen, you know, right? You know, even with a little child, you know, they have the ability to mess with your mind. Right? And so God is saying, "Don't do that to me. Don't do that to me. I'm stretching out my hands. I want to love you. I want to commune with you. Don't leave me in the church on Sunday and pick me up next week when you come to Bible study again, and then leave me here until 10 the next Sunday you come back," or whatever the process is. He says, "Take me with you. Take me in the car when you leave to go home. Take me to the gas station. Take me to the mall. Take me to the grocery store. Take me to work with you. I can help you to impact people's lives." God wants us to go with, wants us to take him with us everywhere. We are to walk with God. We are to go with him. We are following him. He is leading us along the way. This is why Ananias was able to accomplish this very thing. He was able to, even in his fear of Saul, testify of his name that had gone forth. And so he says, I hear he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name, Lord, who call on your name. And so God is saying, "I know, and that's why I intercepted him." God intercepted him to stop him. And so often we're fearful of things and we're intimidated by things, but we don't realize God has intercepted this situation. That's why it came to us. It doesn't just come to us straight from the bullpen. God buffers it and he tames it down. So by the time it gets to us, it's not more than what we can bear or what we can handle. But the gifts of God are able to rise up in us. And as we speak, as of the oracles of God, the anointing of God goes out and it impacts the situation, the circumstance, the people, whatever it is, and God brings about change. This is the type of authority that you and I have. Saul had authority to bind, and God also has power to bind. He said, whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Isn't that what he said? So you have the same power that Satan has that's working against you. And the power you have is greater than the power that's working against you. All we have to do is have a relationship with God. Let God mold us. Let him shape us as we go through. As we go through the challenges, we make mistakes along the way. We learn. We say, I won't do that again. And we get to know, you get to know that feeling when you did the wrong thing. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit starts to let you know, hey, no. And God begins to buffer you, and he gives you the guard, and you say, okay, no, I'm going to stop. I'm not going to go beyond this point. I know God is calling me not to do that. And you go a different way. And we learn, and the voice of the Spirit of God, we learn how to walk with God. And he has given us authority, even as Saul had authority to bind those who called on his name. And now he is receiving the power of God. It says, the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel or instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the sons of Israel. God has a plan to redeem. He says he's a chosen instrument to be born to bear the name of Jesus. You and I, we bear the name of Jesus. There is power in that name. We have authority in the name of Jesus. All we need to do is allow God to manifest himself in our life. He says, for I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. Oh, you and I, we suffer for the sake of the cause of the kingdom of God, for the sake of the name of Jesus. Every time you get up and you go to speak or you go to do what you need to do as a child of God, you're doing it in accordance to the principles of God and his word. You're applying the standard of God as you make your decisions, as you choose what you're going to do and how you're going to do it and where you're going to go. All of those choices are done within the standard of God's word so that his will can be accomplished in us, so that we can be the ambassadors and the representatives that he's called us to be. And so God says, it's the name. It's all about the name. Whose name are you operating under? Are you operating under your own name, or are you operating under the name of Jesus, under the power of God? Your name has whatever you get. Whatever your name means, that's what you get. But I tell you, when you come under the name of Jesus, you come with the authority of the kingdom of heaven and of God. You come in the name of the Lord. You come in the power of God and his word. And the word of the Lord, as the word of God says, behold, I come in the volume of the book. You can show up in the volume of the book. You can operate in the power of God, in the strength of God as you walk with him. Saul gave up his name and was then known as Paul. Saul, it means desired, right? It means someone who has favor and who's honored. And he adopts a name that is one that is one of humility. He takes Paul, which means little. It means to be brought low and humbled. And so his very name is the condensation into a word of his abiding conviction. He's been transformed. It's a sign of his change. You and I, we have a new name written in glory. We have the name of the Lord. In fact, Revelation tells us, we talked about last week, that we have a new name. And it is written on a stone. And it is just for you to know. It's between you and God. That's why you need a relationship with God. Because otherwise, you won't even know that you have a new name. You won't know that new name. You won't even recognize it. Maybe you wouldn't even have a new name. And that is why we have new names. It is because of our relationship with God. You, just like Saul, have a new name. And the name is written in glory, the word of God says. In verse 17, it says, so Ananias departed and entered the house, and after laying his hands on him, brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you were coming, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost, with the Holy Spirit. And so here he is, and he shows up. Man, that's boldness, right? When you get there, that must have been comforting. You knock on the door, says, is this the house of Saul? Is this the house of Judas? And they say, yes, this is Judas' house. I'm here for Saul. And they say, how did you know he was here? How did you even know he was here? God told me. God told me. And then he shows up and he goes inside, and now he knows the whole story. How does he know the whole story? God tells him. God reveals things to his people. God will enable you to know things that you otherwise would not know. And that's because you have a relationship with God. Friends tell friends everything, don't they? That's why Jesus said, I am no longer, call you the enemies of God, but I've called you friends. You are friends. And we sing the song, I am a friend of God. Well, you're not if you don't have a relationship with God, because friends connotate relationship. It has the essence that we're connected, that we spend time, we call each other on a regular basis. We interact, we go places together, we do things together. We have an intimate relationship. That's what a friend is. And so here is Ananias, he is a friend of God. And so he knows what is going on, and he is able to be used by God to not only bring back his sight, but to impart the Holy Spirit to his life. You and I know in the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit moved and fell upon the people. And everyone in there began to experience this move of the Spirit of God. And so it's more than just having a knowledge of the Word of God. It's about the impartation of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And that is where the power comes from. The power comes from the impartation of the Holy Spirit. It is God who arises. It is God who enables us. It is God who makes a way. And he can cause even something like scales to fall from your eyes. Verse 18, immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he regained his sight, and he got up and was baptized. Hallelujah. He did everything he needed to do to tell the world, I have been transformed. I am redeemed. My life has now been repurposed. And God wants to give you new sight. God wants to enable you to have the scales fall off your eyes so you can begin to see and perceive the things of God the right way. And so he indeed got up. Luke 24:44 says, now he said to them, these are my words which I speak to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. That means they must be carried out. Somebody has to do them. They have to be accomplished. And then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. Something like scales needs to fall off our minds so that we would be able to understand the word of God, so we can apply it in our life. We need to pray, God, authority in his own jurisdiction. And then he got paper so he could have become a legal bounty hunter to go into other jurisdictions to accomplish the will that he had purposed in his heart. And I say that you have the authority of Christ. When you apply the principles of God's word in your life, you will see his power and his glory operate even across borders, over into the devil's territory, areas where Satan has authority, places where people are under another authority other than God. You are able to reach in and go in and snatch them and bring them to Jerusalem and bring them back to a place where they can have an encounter with God, where you can enable people to experience God in their lives, so that you can be the witnesses of these things. As it says here in verse 48, you are witnesses of these things. Saints of God, you are witnesses as to what God can do. You are witnesses as to how God is able to change lives. He's done it for you. He has accomplished great things in your life. You have seen God do things in your past. Look back, learn from them. Build a memorial, a stone of remembrance. Hold on to the things that God has done, the things that he's taught you, that he's revealed in your life, and allow them to be used so that you can be a witness and a testimony unto God, and so that people's lives can be transformed like this car has been repurposed and transformed into a bed. Hallelujah. Oh, there is nothing God can't transform. You might say, a car is just a car. No, a car is now a bed. Hallelujah. God can repurpose your life. He can change you and use you in ways that you would never imagine. Verse 19 says, he took food and was strengthened. he stopped fasting after he regained his sight. Once he knew what to do, and now he's heard from God. Now he's seen, but God actually answers prayer, and he responds, and he speaks to people and tells them what to do so that my prayer can be realized, so my prayer can be answered. Nobody wants prayers that just go out there and nothing happens. Nobody hears it. Nobody responds. And we say, well, I guess the Lord didn't hear my prayer. Well, no, maybe you prayed a mess. You have to have a relationship with God. We need to commune with God. We need to make sure that our relationship with God is right and sure. And God, he will respond. And he will use other people who have a right relationship with God in their life. And those are the people we need in our lives. Those are the people we need to be able to interact with to help us grow and mature in the ways of the Lord. And God will use us to impact the world. And so it says, for several days, he was with the disciples who were at Damascus. And we need to spend time with people who are able to disciple us, who are able to help us grow in our walk with God. We need to spend time with people who can help us to mature and learn this new way of thinking, living, and acting according to the word of God. It says, immediately he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogue, saying, he is the Son of God. He is right back in the place where he was renouncing Jesus. Now he's proclaiming Jesus. The saints of God, that is a transformation from God. That is God's repurposing of a man. And God can do it in anyone's life. It doesn't matter who it is. Are you praying for a loved one? Are you praying for friends and coworkers? Maybe people far away. Well, God has somebody who is able to hear, somebody who has a relationship with him, who can respond, and they can enable the principle of God. One sows, another waters, and God brings the increase. God has the process all set up. And as we align ourselves where we find ourselves after being humbled and after being to a place where we are able to release our old way of thinking in a state of renewal and revival of fasting, we come up with new life. We're able to see and live and perceive. We connect with the people of God who are able to help us grow and mature in our walk with God so that we too can proclaim Jesus. This is the process of regeneration. And every day God molds us, he renews us, he revives us. Verse 21 says, all those hearing him continued to be amazed. They were saying, is this not he who in Jerusalem destroyed those who called on his name and who had come here for the purpose of bringing them bound before the chief priest? What in the world? This is the guy that every one of us was afraid of. But Saul, he just kept increasing in strength. He just kept being confounding the Jews. He kept allowing God to do a work in his life. And he was used in Damascus, and he was proving that Jesus was the Christ. Can you prove that Jesus is the Christ? I pray that you can prove that Jesus is the Christ. I pray that you are able to take the word of God and all that you know and allow the relationship you have with God to impart wisdom, knowledge, and understanding to you so that in those moments when you don't know what to say, the Spirit of God can ignite a response and you will become a doer of the word. You will see the manifestations of God as it takes place in your life. That's why in Zephaniah 3:14-17, it says, shout for joy, O daughter of Zion. Shout in triumph, O Israel. Rejoice and exalt with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away his judgments against you. He has declared away or cleared away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You will fear disaster no more. I pray that you are fearing disaster no more, saints of God. I pray you understand that God has taken away your judgments. He is no longer holding your sins and your past against you, that old things have passed away, and behold, all things are made new. Even as Saul experienced the transformation, his old ways were on the other side of the darkness, but now he's in the light of Christ. I pray that you are experiencing the light of God. It says, in that day it will be said to Jerusalem, do not be afraid, O Zion. Do not let your hands fall limp. He says to the Lord your God is in your midst, a victorious warrior, and he will exalt over you with joy. He will be quiet in his love. He will rejoice over you with shouts of joy. Hallelujah. I pray you have a shout of joy today. I pray that you have some kind of shout in you. Don't leave like the team that lost. You're going out the stadium like this. I pray that you're not walking around down low as if your team lost. You just won the greatest Super Bowl type event in the history of all mankind. You have become victor through Christ because of his accomplishments in your life. A victorious warrior, and he is exalting over us. He's our covering. He is the one who enables us. He empowers us. He strengthens us. He is there to help us. We commune with him. He communes with us. He shows us which way to go. He gives us a sense of direction so we can navigate the storms, the challenges, the difficulties, the opposition that comes our way. God is able to show us how to make it through. All we have to do is walk with him, have a relationship with him, commune with him. God will enable us to overcome. God is a redeemer. He is a transformer of lives. And just like this telephone booth is obsolete, maybe your life is obsolete. Maybe you're obsolete. Maybe all the things that you're thinking are obsolete. But I tell you, when you come to Christ, they are. Old things are passed away. They're no longer any usefulness. No one needs a telephone booth anymore because it's obsolete. And that is why you and I can go through life. And even though we have these experiences like Joseph, who said, as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about this present result to preserve many people alive. God has brought you to this point in your life. God has allowed you to experience all the things that you've gone through, all the negativity, all of the hardship, all of the difficulties. They were for a divine purpose. It was so that God could use you. You might think it was meant for evil against you, but God says, I'm turning it around. I'm repurposing you for good. And it doesn't matter what your past was. Now all things are made new. Behold, all things are made new. God wants to use you to preserve many people alive. Acts 9:3 says that as Saul was traveling, I pray that you're going somewhere in life. I pray that you're about something in life, because that's when things happen. And that's when God is able to intervene and interact in your life. And as you are approaching Damascus and as you are going along your way, a light of Christ will come to you. God will bring revelation to you. He will speak to you. He will enable you to see. He will humble you. He will mold you. He will shape you. He will cause you to be completely transformed. You will be made into a couch as you used to be an old telephone booth. But now you have a new purpose. Now you can hold people up. You can help them relax. You can help them be free and be transformed by the power of God, because you have been through the regeneration process. You've been repurposed by God. You have redirected your passion, so now you're prevailing beyond the times. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
When the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is freedom. Come out of the dark, just as you are, into the fullness of His love. For the Spirit is here, let there be freedom. Let there be freedom.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Well, thank you, God. There is freedom in the Lord. And when Christ comes into your life, there is nothing you cannot accomplish. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You have the power. All you need is a relationship. And when you have a relationship with God, when you commune with God, the power is transferred. You become ignited in God. The very essence of God Himself dwells within you. And as you align yourself with the Word of God and begin to walk in the ways of His Word and apply the principles of His Word and trust Him with humility and humbleness of heart, and as you allow Him to speak to you and lead you in the way that you need to go, you will be victorious. You will live a life filled with joy. You will have reason to rejoice. you will have a heart filled with praise and a mind renewed and transformed by the Spirit and the power of God, uniting together to enable you to accomplish the will of God. It is the Word. It is the power of God that was obtained through a relationship with God that enables us to accomplish the will of God. And as we follow the process of God, that we would be transformed and regenerated, we will be able to do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Nothing will be impossible because God will be at work in our behalf. He will go before us. He will enable us. He will cause all things to work together for our good because we're called according to His purpose. Well, I pray that you have been blessed today and that the Spirit of the Lord would be breathed upon you in the fullness of the Holy Ghost. And that as you go in the power of the Spirit, having been ignited in God, that the Word of the Lord may be manifested in you in Jesus' name. Well, Lord, we thank you, oh God, for your Word today. And we ask, Lord, that as your people leave, that you will have refreshed them and you will have ignited them and enabled them. And as they go in the power of the Spirit of the Lord. Oh God, bring humility, bring humbleness of heart. Lord, bring us through a uniting and a combining of the saints of God that we might experience your presence where two or three are gathered in your name, that you would show yourself mighty and strong among us. Give us ears to hear. Help us to know your voice, to follow you, and that we would be able to accomplish all that you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen, amen, and amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And thank you for coming to the Orange County Gospel Fellowship today. Hallelujah.